remembered woes.
Duck tripped and nearly fell, the lion-headed sword stick dropping from his fingers as he stumbled to his knees. The shock of it brought him lurching back to something approaching lucidity.
Where am I going? Where have I come from?
He stood and brushed sand from his pants. He picked up the cane, smiling.
The two greatest questions of all mankind. Where do you come from, and where do you go, Cotton-Eyed Joe? Now what in perdition did I stumble and fall over?
He realized that he was on a long abandoned path that wound its way between a lichen-striped dry dock and a tank filled with peculiarly murky water, leading him to the rear of the two locked buildings. The ones that Professor Tomlin had said were filled with delicate research material. Duck reached out the toe of one cracked knee boot and pushed at the protruding edge of whatever it was that had tripped him up. He paused and glanced behind him, then the other way. But that part of the Institute was deserted and silent.
What have we here? Pardon my soul, it seems to be some sort of packing material. Property of the United States Navy. Fissionable. What can that mean?
More of it was visible. The stenciled lettering faded with age, but still legible.
Bantam Contact Missile.
The jagged piece of desiccated wood held no more information, beyond the beginnings of a series of letters and numbers. None of it made any sense to Doc Tanner. He kicked sand over the rubbish and began to walk quietly back to his friends.
Must be careful where I step, or I'll trip over whatever it was. By the three Kennedys, but my memory is really worsening.
There used to be a missile base here, you know.
Mark Tomlin was giving a small, candlelit dinner party on the evening of their sixth day at the Institute. They ate at a long, linen-draped table in a narrow, vaulted room off the professor's main quarters. A couple of the younger women acted as servers for the meal, cooked in the well-equipped kitchens of the Institute. The ocean provided virtually all of the food, starting with sand crabs. The meat had been mixed with herbs and butter, then placed back in the shells. Next came freshwater trout, baked en croûte with sweet potatoes and black-eyed peas, served with saffron rice. To accompany it, Tomlin offered a range of home-brewed beers and even a couple of halfway decent wines, a strong red and a delicate blush.
Missile base? I didn't know they had anything this far south down in the Keys.
Oh, indeed. Would anyone care for more of this wine? No? Well, more for me.
Where do you get your provisions from?
Mostly from Father Neptune himself.
Father Neptune doesn't have cows or a bakery or a vegetable garden or a brewery.
Exactly right, Ryan. No, of course you are correct. We do grow a few herbs and basic items ourselves, but the Keys can be a merciless place in winter storms. To support ourselves, we trade where we can, both with the fishermen who live a little farther north and with settlements and small villas up on the mainland of what was Florida.
Missiles. I do not quite remember why, but I feel sure that this rings a tiny tintinnabulation in the distant belfries of my memory.
Ryan had traveled long enough and far enough with Doc to know that his mental stability was, to put it mildly, variable. But that didn't mean that you automatically ignored everything that the old man said.
Have you seen something, Doc?
I have been most places and seen most things, my dear companion of a thousand stirring adventures. I have been most things and seen most places. Oh, perdition, take it. Anyway, I am afraid that I have lost track of the major elements of this conversation, though I am certain that I would agree with everything that the last speaker said.
Christie happened to be watching Mark Tomlin at that moment, and she was surprised to see his body visibly relax, if something that had been said had touched a raw nerve and had then passed away again. But everyone was distracted by the doors opening and the two young women wheeling in a cart that positively groaned under the weight of food. One of the servers was Miranda Thorson, who studiously avoided catching Michael's eye. Tomlin spotted this and called to her.
Miranda, my dear sprite.
What?
I heard all about your accident with our second youngest guest in the speaking pool.
He shitted me off.
I didn't.
I was interested in what you were doing, but you set the dolphins on me and I could have drowned.
Enough, children, enough.
He deserved it. Anyway, you said that if any of them...
I said that was enough, Miranda. We will kiss and make up.
Who will?
You and dear Miranda. Now, in front of this company, if you please.
Michael pushed back his chair and stood, his body tense. The young woman left the trolley and walked slowly, her hands at her sides, fingers clenched, to stop a couple of paces away from him.
Now.
Stiffly, as though they were both strapped into exoskeletons, Michael and Miranda embraced, offering cold kisses onto each other's cheeks. Mildred leaned across the table and whispered to Doc,
"We have done deeds of charity, made peace of enmity, fair love of hate."
"And look what happened to Richard III, huh?"
Miranda returned quickly to the food cart, her face flushed.
"Good, good, my dear. Now, let us offer our guests the selection of fruits of the sea. Mostly salt water, of course, but a few from the fresh rivers and pools to the north of us. Juliet, perhaps you might take us on a conducted tour of the dishes."
Holding a long spoon, the gray-haired woman pointed to each brimming dish. Some were plainly boiled, some curried, some fried, and some baked.
"Lamprey, skate, lake sturgeon, long-nose gar, herring, different kinds of herring there, all mixed and mashed, trout, pickerel, common carp, blue-head chub, tail-light shiner, black-tail red horse."
"You're making some of those names up. I've never heard of some of them."
"Juliet, a little information about, well, about the black-tailed red horse, if you please."
"Certainly. Moxostoma piscillarum, family of catastomidae, which means suckers. Spawns in April or May over shallow shoals of fine gravel, where there's a fast-flowing current. They have typically a slender caudal peduncle and are found in creeks and narrow rivers..."
"Thanks. I'm sorry I even questioned you. I believe you now."
"I think our guests have enough information to enable them to choose a few delicacies to tempt their palates, Juliet. You may go now. We'll help ourselves."
Everything that was offered was indeed excellent. Cotter and his traveling companions could scarcely remember when they had eaten so well. Mildred pushed back her plate.
"Oh, it seems a pity, but I don't think I can eat any more. Professor Tomwin?"
"Dr. Wyeth, at your service."
"Your work is concentrated on cetaceans?"
"That genus represents a rather more broad church, I think, than interests us. We're more concerned with the family of delphinidae, ocean dolphins and their brothers, the whales. They are the odontocetes, in that they all have teeth, to distinguish them from the related mysticeti, who have plates of horny baleen to filter water and food into their mouths." Quite right, young fellow. This is a dinner, not a school lesson. And I am just a damn bore when I clamber aboard my own hobby horse. Or hobby dolphin, perhaps."
"No, it's real interesting, Professor. Honest. I'm just sort of tired. You look after them real well, the dolphins you work on, don't you?"
"Work with. And very soon we shall begin to show you many of the details of what we are doing here and what we are hoping to achieve."
"What sort of fish is this here?"
Miranda and Juliet had come back in to begin clearing away some of the dishes before bringing in the dessert. The younger woman moved toward Dean.
"Show me."
"It tasted like real crap."
"Dean, the food's been terrific. Some of the best fish I ever ate."
"I bet you didn't have any of this."
The flesh was textured and dark brown, with a kind of rind of greasy fat. Held aloft on the spoon, it exuded an unpleasant smell. Miranda peered at it.
"I know what this is. Oh, they were told not to serve..."
"I see what's happened."
JB leaned forward, the yellow light of the candles dancing off the lenses of his spectacles.
"Just what has happened?"
"A mistake, Mr. Dix."
For a few long moments, nobody spoke. Miranda backed off from the table, edging toward the door, with Juliet shuffling along beside her. Both disappeared silently through the double-swing doors.
"It wouldn't by any chance be a haunch of one of your pet dolphins, would it, Professor? Put it down, boy."
"Yes, all right. Absolutely correct. It was number 36, if my memory serves me. One of our earlier subjects. Passed over from this world to the next only a day ago. As you know, protein isn't easy to come by."
"How come we're eating it?"
It was a mistake, Dean. It was not supposed to be served as part of this meal. Just ground up for food for the rest of the...
Subjects?
Precisely.
Dinner concluded, and the guests headed out of the dining hall with scarcely another word.